We desire your prayers. I want to turn to the 11th chapter of Matthew, please. 11 of Matthew. Now at the bottom of the chapter, we'll read a couple of verses. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." He said, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Now, one of the first things, saints, as we were growing, one of the things after we learned Dada and Mama is Mom and Daddy wanted us to learn the word come. Because when they said come, they wanted us to come. Now, one mother in a congregation I pastored one time, loved this family dearly, and got all the special children nicknames, all of them nicknames. And so that's how close I am to them. And anyway, she told me, she said, "Now, when I call their first name, they better come. And if they don't come, then I call the first and the second name. And they're going to get a little trouble then, but said, if I call all three names, it's Katie bar the door. In other words, you better move." Now, the mamas and daddies, aunts, uncles, and so forth want you to understand that when somebody calls you to come, you need to come. And we're taught that as we grow up. But do you know what happens when we get out from under mom and daddy? It seems like we forget that. And the Lord comes along, and he starts calling, "Come unto me," and we seem to forget all of that, and we don't go to the place where we ought to go. We go in the opposite direction down the broad road instead of the right road. We don't get saved. We follow the devil. And we get ourselves in a whole bunch of trouble. And then the Lord points it back and said, "I called you years ago. Called you to come unto me." Listen, this is the greatest call that you and I can have. It is a universal call. It goes to all mankind around the world. This is a call from mamas are good and daddies are good, aunts, uncles, cousins, and so forth. But listen, folks, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's calling you and I tonight.
Yes.
"Come unto me, all ye that labor."
Yes.
For a long time, I thought this was strictly to sinners. But after I grew some, I began to see it wasn't just sinners. It's to everybody. Yes. "Come unto me, all ye that labor." And that's the reason tonight I want to put a proclamation out, or however you want to say it, to beg you that if you have troubles tonight, if you have problems, if you have needs tonight, he's saying, "Come unto me." People, they want to go to all kinds of things. There's doctors out there. There's lawyers out there. There's psychiatrists out there. I've worked in their homes. I've maybe met some of them, talked to them personally. But the bottom line is, Jesus is the greatest of all. All of them make money because they put the plea out, "Come to me." I can help you. A carpenter maybe, or a mechanic, they let it be known, "Come to my shop. Come in here, let me work on your car. Come in here, let me work on your house." Whatever you might be, come. Now, when I was building the project in Shawnee, Oklahoma, I didn't plan for it to be this way, but they decided to make me the GC of the whole thing. And I didn't have the long-term experience of some carpenters out there by any means. And I don't claim to be a great carpenter. But I done like the presidents of the United States. I put me a cabinet around me. And that cabinet had carpenters in it that had experience that I didn't have. And if I had a question, I called them. And I asked them. And there was one, what was funny about it, there was one in Guthrie that the others referred me to him more than anybody else because he'd been doing it from a child up. His daddy was a builder and he raised John up and John knew a lot of things. And I'd call John, well, Philip would tell me, or the Mitchells would tell me, or Brother Jerry would tell me, call John Gibson, call him. And I'd say, "John, I got this." He said, "Yeah, this is what you do about it. If you can't do it, I'll come help you." And he did. He spent a lot of time helping me. But listen, folks, tonight, the one I'm recommending to you is the greatest of any individual that can help us with any question, whether it be small or big. If it's a burden that we've got, we can't get victory. We don't have the power. I'm going to tell you, these meetings are set in place for you and I to come to Jesus, to bring our needs to him and say, "Lord, I need you. I want you. This is a night that I'm going to get my victory, praise God. Don't walk away and go backwards, but let's come forward and say, Lord, I need you, praise God. Amen. Come unto me, he said. Come unto me, all you that labor. Now, what are you laboring under tonight? Have you got burdens? Have you got trials and tribulations? Have you got battles and stuff that you're working with? And you need the Lord's help. He said, come unto me. Come to me. Listen, folks, tonight, the highest honor, the highest call that we could have is to come to him.
Yes.
Come to Jesus. He's better than a president, senator, king, queen.
Yes.
We just buried, like I said the other night, we just buried one. Well, we hadn't buried her yet, but they're working on getting her to the tomb. We buried that queen, but my king's still alive. My queen, my king that's got all power, that's living in heaven and earth, that knows how to help you with anything, praise God. I want to encourage you to bring everything to him.
That's right.
Yes.
And I'm building my house. Helping to build my house. I had people come in. But there was one little thing that I didn't know what to do with. And it was right up in a corner. And it was some trim coming together with paneling on the walls. And trim coming together. And I didn't know quite how to cut that. And so I was laying there in bed one morning. And I was thinking about it. And the Lord come down and he visited me. And he said, this is what you need to do, child. And he showed me exactly how to cut it. Now, the Gillenbecks told me when I went to work for them, they said, listen, if you have any questions and you don't know how to do something, you call us because we can walk you through it. We can do it. Listen, folks, today, there was a time or two that I found the Gillenbecks didn't know how to do it. I've never found that with Jesus. I've never brought something to him and said, Lord, I need you to help me with this. And he never said, I'm going to send you over here, over there. Listen, he's a specialist, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He said, I have all power in heaven and earth. And there ain't nothing that he don't know how to do, praise God.
Amen.
Come unto me. Oh, tonight, what do we need? These meetings are to the glory of God and for the good of souls. He wants us to come to him. And that's why these meetings are held. To fire us up, so to speak, or encourage us to come when we got a need. Don't run the other way. Run straight to Jesus.
Yes.
There have been times that you got hurt as a child. And here'd come mama. You'd be coming and she'd be coming. You'd be in the middle, so to speak. And oh, she'd take you up in her arms and she'd begin to hold you and kiss the boo-boo, so to speak, and work with you because you're her baby, see? You're her little darling. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus will take you on his knees too. He'll hold you too, praise God. He'll lift you up too. He'll bless you too. He knows how to help the downtrodden. He knows how to help those that's got a labor that they don't know what to do with. Listen, there's people that's got all kind of rights and things out there in the world and out there in Babylon, and they don't know what to do with it. And Jesus said, come unto me, praise God, and I'll help you with that. Brother Salmons, one time, the old general was, him and Sister Verna was in a home with a lady, and they was working with her, and as the ladies, the sisters, was making the meal, he was looking at all the books she had, and it was by this one and that one and the other one. I doubt if he knew very many of the authors of all the books that was in that bookcase, and they were religious books. I'm not saying they were not. Anyway, so later they were sitting there and they were talking and she was talking to him about things. And he said, well, I'd like to give you a little advice. He said, the first thing you need to do is get rid of all them books and get back to the Bible. You need to get back to where Jesus is. You need to call on him. He will help you. If your people are in confusion, the greatest one to unconfuse people is Jesus, praise God. He knows how to unconfuse you. I didn't know if that word exists or not, but I'm making one up tonight. I also had husbands and a few other words I've made down through the years. But the bottom line is the Lord knows how to teach us and to work with us. But we got to come to him. He wants us to ask. He said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given, praise God. He wants you to ask him. for help. If I got in trouble when I was a boy, when I say trouble, I'm not talking about trouble with mom and daddy, but if I got hurt or whatever, daddy and them say, come to me. Come on, son. And a lot of times they were coming, I was coming, meeting in the middle, like I said a while ago. But the bottom line is, seemed like spiritually speaking, we want to kind of hold back. We're big people, you know. There's people in here older than I am, and I'm almost 70. And there's people here older than me. But listen, folks, the older you get, the more decrepit you get, and the more you need Jesus, praise God. Amen? We need the Lord. We got to have him, saints. And we need to reach out to him. Come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden. There is people out there that's got heavy loads, heavy sins, heavy burdens of sins that is weighting them down, and they need the Lord to take that care of that. They need the Lord to help them. Oh, to give it up, to surrender it, to turn it loose, and then he reaches down and he touches them and takes it all away. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Listen, folks, the Lord wants to teach us something. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. Let's go to Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now he said, come now, let us reason together. Come now. Come to me and let us talk about it. Come to me and let me help you to know what you need to turn loose.
Yes.
There is examples in the Bible that they come to Jesus and they didn't do what he told them to do. The rich young ruler, he was a good young man. He was better than a lot of people on the streets today.
Lord,
and Jesus was working with him, and he said, I've kept all them from my youth up. What now do I need to do? He said, I want you to sell all your riches or give all your riches away and come and follow me. And he didn't want to do that. Somebody said, well, why would the Lord do something like that? I tell you why, because his heart was centered on his riches. Listen, the Lord wants you to be able to give up what our hearts are centered on that is causing us trouble. Listen, there's times that we're all tangled up in this stuff and we don't hardly know what to do. But the bottom line is Jesus is the greatest untangler I've ever seen. And he tells us you need to quit this, you need to give that up, you need to do this, you need to go there and do this. And people say, well, I don't want to do that. But that's the way to victory. Come now. Let us reason.
Yes.
Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Again, Jesus is saying, come and I will work with you.
Yes.
I want to help you. Listen, folks, when Jesus told me in 1985 that he died for me, the tears started streaming. I couldn't control my emotion, so to speak, because I seen him, the one that died for me. He was standing there and he pointed to me and he said, I died for you, child. That means a lot tonight. And that one that died for me is able to help me in any way I need tonight.
Yes.
He can help you too.
Yes.
He wants to help you.
Yes.
Let us reason together,
yes,
saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, most everybody knows I've done some gender work about 47 years off and on. And if you get the wrong colors and get it in a carpet, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to get it out. And it said, now, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, I've done some carpet cleaning. Matter of fact, I've spent hours cleaning carpet down through the years. And there is things that I was able to deal with and work with. And I'd walk up to something, I'd look at that, and I thought, uh-oh, the best cleaner I got. One person told me one time, said, Brother Carl, said, the daughter, I guess it was, has spilled something on the carpet. What do you recommend? So I told them. They went and got it. And later, somewhere down the line, they said, worked pretty good. Made it look a lot better. But I'm going to tell you, when you get something red enough in your carpets, I don't know that there's anything that'll really get it totally out. You're going to have a stain left there.
Lord.
But I'm going to tell you tonight, there is things that can leave deep scars and deep stains on your heart, soul, and mind. And the Lord says, I want to get them out for you, praise God. Come now to me and let me work. Though they be red, though they be as scarlet, said they shall be as wool. They should be white as snow. In other words, they'd be taken all away, praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. He said, come to me. Come to me. You be willing and obedient. Now, we be willing and obedient. We're going to do something good. We're going to have something good to eat. We're going to eat the good of the land. The Lord feeds you some steaks, praise God. Oh, talk about them cattleman steaks the other night. He wants to feed you some fine food, the greatest thing that you can get out of the Bible. And it's going to start with a good milk of the Word. But as you grow and as you deepen down, he's going to give you richer and richer and deeper things. And you're going to be shouting at home just like you do at me. Oh, you should eat the good of the land. Thank the Lord for that. All right, let's move over here to Genesis 7. Talk about Noah a little bit. 7:1. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of the beast that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now, back in May, Molly Page and I went to see the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. I'd been wanting to see this for quite a while. Now, the thing of it is, like last November, I didn't have anybody with me. I had options I could take, but the options, some of them that I could take, would be without her because she's caring for mother in Florida. And I said, no, I'm not going to do this because I want Molly along. I want to take her and Paige with me. I want them to see this too. Well, so I've been wanting to see this. I wanted them to see it. So we went to Creation Museum first, spent about a full day there. And then we went to the Ark Encounter. Now, this Ark Encounter, according to what I understand, is built as close to the absolute measurements that the Bible gives them to build that it was built like. And I went in there and I started looking around and I told Molly, I said, if the Ark was built like this, it was quite a boat. It had beams. It had beams much bigger than those right there that was going under where we were standing and up each side to hold all that boat together. And they had cages and they had the animals that would be like, and they had them in there. And they had all kind of things that they'd show you, all kind of things they had written to help you to understand what it was like in Noah's day. Now then, Noah was a man of righteousness. And God saw the wickedness upon the earth, but he saw Noah righteous and he gave him a call. He said, I want you to build this boat. Yes. A big project. Yes. Come now, I want you to build this. And he gave him the exact measurements and so forth. And Noah not only was a man that built the boat, but the Bible called him a preacher of righteousness. And I figure he preached to the people for a number of years down all the time he built that boat.
Yes.
And he told them over and over, there's going to be a flood.
Lord, mercy.
They're shaking their heads going, well, it ain't even rained, Noah. What are you talking about? It's going to flood. It ain't even rained. We just got the dew that waters the grass and so forth. And there's going to be a rain. There's going to be a flood. They didn't listen, folks. They didn't listen. All right. Let's look over here. I want to tie 2 Peter. 2 Peter in with this. Let me see here. It's, am I getting the right book? It reads right. It always does, saints. 2 Peter 2, and it said, and spare not the old world, but save Noah the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now listen to what this is saying. and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. But he delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, saints, I don't know, but this hit me as I was studying on this. It said he turned and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. Now then, Jesus, when Noah got the bill finished, God called him and told him to get the animals. I had a group of books that we had for our daughters that we read to them in our little Bible studies every night. And in one of these, they had pictures. And one of the pictures, the animals are coming by twos and by seven, and they're coming up and they're making a turn and they're going up a ramp into the ark. And there's a man, and he's standing over here, and he's looking at that, and you can see enough of his face that you can see the horror that's on his face. He's looking at that, and he's thinking, I'm putting this out here. He's thinking, could Noah be right? Is there going to be a flood? Look at these animals. Who's leading these animals? Noah wasn't leading them in. There was an angel bringing them in. Our God himself bringing them in. He was bringing them two by two, seven by seven. He was bringing them in. And that man's standing there looking, and he's pointing. And other people are standing around, and they're looking. And then after he got everybody in there, what did he do? It said, God shut the door, didn't he? God shut the door. And I'm going to tell you, when God shuts something, ain't no man going to open it. Well, he shut the door. They had all the food they needed, had everything ready to go, and the rain began to come. And soul after soul after soul drowned in the waters. Went out in eternity. Come Noah into the ark. It's time for me to execute and to do what I want to do with mankind. They have vexed me with their unrighteous life. And I'm going to tell you folks today, they're vexing God with their unrighteous life. This United States is in the biggest mess it's ever been in all of my lifetime. And probably in all the life period. Of all the sin and the corruption, all of the homosexuality, all the transgender, all this stuff they're trying to teach in the schools, and it's a mess from the bottom to the top, so to speak, and God's getting tired of it, folks. God's getting tired of it. And so he said here, and I'm going to tell you this hit me a while ago, or when I studied, he said, spared not the old world, but save Noah. The eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, can you imagine Noah out there preaching? There's going to be a flood. You better think. Listen, folks, I've had a person tell me that, Carl, I've heard the end of time all of my life, and it's never happened yet. But that don't mean it ain't going to happen. That person's done out into eternity. We preached our funeral years ago. But the bottom line tonight is this, folks. He said, Noah, come into the ark. It's time to execute. It's time to do it. And then he said, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that are after should live ungodly. If there's ever a time that people ought to come to Jesus, it's now. Because I got news for you. He said he's going to burn this thing up a second time, just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not going to spare anybody. It's not going to be just two towns. He's going to call people. But the bottom line is, it's going to get down that this world is going to be burned up in fire. And those that are ready to go will go. And those that are not will be condemned. Several years ago, I was praying for my daddy's family. My daddy's father, my grandfather, was a preacher. Good man. and didn't really know him. He died when I was about 10 or 11, so I didn't get a lot of being with him, but I did know who he was.
Yeah.
All my other grandparents were dead before when I was real young. All right. Tonight, folks, these people that are doing wrong, that are doing great sin, that are doing the things that are doing, God is getting tired. He is getting weary. He's getting fed up with. And he's telling them that making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. In other words, if you're going to live ungodly, fire and brimstone is going to be your lot. Fire and brimstone is going to be your lot. Oh, I'm going to tell you tonight, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I was in a funeral one time, and this was my father's nephew that had died. And Mama called us and said, "We want you to go to the funeral." Now, Daddy and Mama could go, and I didn't understand why they wanted me to go particularly. Now, if they'd said, you know, I can't think of his name. If you know, we're going, we'd like you to meet us there, it wouldn't have struck me funny. But they said, "We want you to go. We don't want to go." And I thought, why not? Well, we got all ready to go, and we went. And we walked into this cemetery. It's the same one my mom and dad buried in. And we walked in that building, and we wasn't in there, I'd say, just a few seconds, so we knew something was wrong. We felt an opposing spirit to our spirit. And I looked at the wife, and she looked at me, and one of us made the statement, "Something's wrong here." And it was. And when we found out the rest of the story, this man that used to be a youth minister in the Baptist church had backslid, gone out and become a homosexuality, and died with AIDS. And that place was full of homos. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. Homosexual is wrong. You can't convince me in any way that there's anything right about it, because I preached a message for 4 or 5 hours from A to Z, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and laid that thing out by Bible. And those people are going to burn in a devil's hell, folks. They say now, well, you know, they can marry. But the Bible said the first thing condemns is be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And they can't do that. I'm going to tell you, that condemns them right there. And man, we felt that opposing spirit. And we went on to the cemetery too. But we was glad to get out of there and call Mom, I believe, even that afternoon, the next day. And she told me the rest of the story. Thank you, Mom. You should have told me that 3 hours ago. I might not have gone. But it was a good experience for me. For me to feel. Listen, folks, some people want to okay homosexuality. There is churches out there that want people to be preachers among them that are homosexual. They want them in their pulpit or in their pews. I don't mind them being in the pews, but they ain't got no business in the pulpit. And the people that are in the pews, they need to find Jesus and get their lives straightened out, praise God. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. He said, "I'll give you rest." The Lord's got a rest for those people. He'll bring them up and out and wash them. I was praying for Daddy's family. And there's good people in Daddy's family. And I love them to death. And I was praying for them. And I got in my prayer, I said, "Lord," I said, "there's one thing I wouldn't want to do. I wouldn't want to be a judge of some of these people." And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Child, it's the blood, it's the blood." I'm going to tell you what, folks, we got to have the blood of Jesus Christ wash away all of our sins if we're going to go to heaven. We got to have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in the blood. Oh, and it just stopped me. He said, "It's the blood." Oh, tonight, these people need the blood, folks. Noah done what he done, and he was spared. But there's going to be multitudes of people burned because of the lives they live. I'd like to take this scripture right here and put it on billboards all across the country to let the people know, if you want to live that life, you're going to burn in the devil's hell. You're going to burn. Now, if they knew who done it, they might want to pull a gun on me and put me in eternity, which I'd be all right. But the bottom line is tonight, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest, praise God. Oh, tonight. All right, let's go to John 11. St. John 11. One of the greatest things that happened in the Bible that day. And Jesus had a dear friend. That dear friend had two sisters. And he got sick and he died, and Jesus stayed away for 4 days. Stayed away for 4 days.
Lord have mercy.
But he come back. Or he come over there. And here in about the 40th, let's read 35. This is a rich scripture. Two words. Jesus wept. Now you don't think Christ had some feelings? You don't think Christ had some compassion and love and mercy that touched him? This was his friend. I've cried a lot of tears. Somebody was asking me today about somebody in the Shawnee congregation, and they didn't know he had died. And when it dawned on me who they were talking about, I said, sister, I said, the wife called me at 8 something in the morning and told me, said, Ron's not responding to me. I said, is he breathing? Yes. I'll be right there. She watched him. I come in the driveway. I was the first one there, and wasn't even family. All the family showed up. I mean, they were coming, but I was able to get there before them because I was closer than all the rest of them. And I walked in the room, and I took it, got his wrist and held it. I couldn't find no pulse. He was beginning to get stiff. And I looked at the man that had been one of the closest men in all of my 20 years of pastoralship. He and I had done so much together, and he was laying there dead. She had stepped out of the room to go to the kitchen. He had got up after she had got out of bed and looked like he had done something with his two-way radios, and looked like he just kind of fell back on the bed. Just gone. I'm going to tell you, talking about pain. I have cried over that man, and all I can tell you, I've shed tears over him for a year. A little over a year now. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, saith I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou may believe, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound with foot, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I'm going to tell you what. I know of a minister in California. Now, some of you in here probably knew old Brother Isaac Chandler. I didn't know him. He died before I got saved in 71. But they said his sister died, I believe it was. And the Lord told him, said, don't take her out of the house. Don't let anybody get her. Pray for her. I'm going to raise her up again. And so they started in. Now, there's people around there, no doubt, was doubtful that this could happen. But Brother Chandler and them started that morning, and they were praying, and they were praying, and they were praying. And in the afternoon, the Lord touched her. He revived her. She come up out of the bed, and there were people going out every door of that house. They was leaving. I know of a case in South Carolina right during service. Brother Samuel was preaching a revival, I believe it was. Molly knows of the situation, and a man was sitting back there, and all of a sudden he just died right there. Brother Samuel stopped preaching and went back there. He couldn't find no pulse. Man's eyes had rolled back in his head. He was getting kind of stiff, so to speak. And they said, do this and do that. Brother Samuel, let's pray first. I had a sister one time that had a physical problem, and she didn't call me right away, or her family didn't call me for prayer. So after a while, they took her to the hospital, and they called me going down to the hospital, and they said, Sister so-and-so needs prayer. All right, we got up and went to prayer. This was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, if I remember right. And got up and went to prayer. The Lord touched her. She went on down to the emergency room and went in there. And the doctor come in and looked her all over and said, well, what's your problem? She said, I don't know. You got any pain? No. What's your problem? She said, I don't know. I said, what are you doing here? Listen, folks, ask first and go do something else later. And Brother Salmon said, let's pray. And they began to pray, and all of a sudden he felt the man's hand move. And he looked up, and his eyes come roll back in his head, and he got up alive. That sister, Brother Isaac Chandler's come out of that bed. Listen, folks, tonight, Lazarus, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Listen, he can raise anybody from a dead state of bed and raise them up and make them new and alive in any way he needs to. Praise God. Come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, he said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Oh, loose him. Let him go, praise God. Amen. Let him enjoy life again. I'm going to come sit down at his table, and we're going to eat Mary and Martha's food. And we're going to have a good time, praise God. I'm going to tell you, he raised him. He brought him back from the dead. I don't care how dead in sin a person is. Jesus is able to raise him up and out and do something nobody else can do, praise God. What do you need tonight? How far down are you? There are people that look and think there's no hope for me. I cannot get victory. I cannot be saved. I'm going to tell you tonight. Jesus said, I have all power. All power. In heaven and earth. And he said over here in, let me see, I hadn't thought about this scripture, Hebrews, where it said, he shall save them to the uttermost. Let's see, is that 7? Let's see, 8. Help me find it here, Brother Gracie. He said, he shall save them. Let's see, where am I at here? I'm at 11. You can find it, you, Brother McCray, anybody, I don't care. Hadn't thought about this particular one. But he said there that he is able to save them to the uttermost, totally and completely, with no problem at all. There have been, what? 7 and 25? Yeah, that's what I want. Thank you, brother. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God, by him seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sin and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Praise God, for the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was sent, since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Thank God tonight. Save them to the uttermost. Totally, completely. I've known people, ministers mainly, well, saints too, that I've heard them talk about what they used to be and what they used to do. And I look at them and think, you done that? Now, well, it couldn't be. Brother Samuels, you couldn't have been drinking and smoking and doing that kind of stuff. Really? Brother Curtis, the same way. Brother Tommy Milo, the same way. I worked with them evangelists. I worked under them. And oh, I listened to them. And they were so different. And they were different because of Jesus.
Yes.
Come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I will save you to the uttermost. I will deliver you. I will do what you can't do, praise God. Brother Dan and Brother Philip tells me that there's a mall in Atlanta, Georgia. There's several malls in Atlanta, and I've been in several of them. I don't know if I've been in every one, but I've been in several. They said this particular mall, about twice a year, the homosexuals in Atlanta let it be known, we're going in there and you guys stay out. And that thing is full of homosexuals all through that building. And not 10 or 15 or 20, I'm talking about hundreds, maybe several thousand. Now then, what I experienced in that funeral home would be one thing. Can you imagine what that would be like? Oh, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus can save to the uttermost anybody that needs deliverance. What is your need tonight?
Yes.
The Lord wants to help us tonight here. 14:15 of the book of Luke. Let's wrap it on down here. 14:15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brother and sister, yea, and his life also, he cannot be my disciple. The great supper.
Yes.
I've been in a lot of all-day services with saints. From, I'd say, one coast to the other. And I've had them line it out. We were at Guthrie. I guess, baby, you must have been down in Florida when this happened. But I went there for all-day meeting. And it was a good crowd there of the congregation. But we went back there and they had a spread of food that about blow your mind. I mean, they had all kinds of things back there. And then over here, the line was going this way. And then back over here against this wall over here, they had the desserts, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And they had all kinds of desserts. And everybody that was there is going, wow, what a spread. What a spread. Listen, folks, it took a lot of time and energy to make that food. Them sisters didn't just wiggle their nose, so to speak, and it popped in the pan and was cooked. Didn't happen that way. They had to work. And I knew some of them that worked hard to provide that for us. And I appreciated it. And others appreciated it. This man here made a great supper. I understand through the commentaries on this that when this happened, to do that and people turned that down was a great insult to the man that made that supper.
Oh, yeah.
The cost, the labor, and everything.
Listen, think about the food. You got your steaks, you got the baked potatoes, you've got the maybe mashed potatoes and gravy, corn and beans. You got all these things. You got salads. You've got different dressings. You have this bread and that bread. And you get it on down. You can't eat it all. What I mean by that, you can't eat some about everything on there. You're about to eat too much. But I'm going to tell you what. This supper right here. Praise God, is the greatest supper a man can have. Said in him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's got the table spread. Come and dine, children, come and dine. Oh, come to the great supper. And he bade many. And I'm going to tell you, they were told, come, for all things are ready. Listen, the gospel is right now. Yes. Now is the day of salvation. Yes. It is there for you and I to partake of. And if you and I turn that down, right. Well, I've got 5 yoke oxen. I bought some land. Well, I just went and got married. Now, to me, the one that had the greatest excuse is the one that got married. But a commentary, he made it sound like that was the least of the excuses. I thought, now, wait a minute. I thought the one that got married to me, that'd be the best excuse you could have. But the bottom line is, you don't have an excuse. When he said, come unto me, and we turned that down. When he said, I've got a supper to feed you that's beyond anything else. When you can eat and get fat and flourishing, spiritually speaking, day in and day out. When I'll feed you steaks, and I'll feed you roast beef, and I'll feed you fried chicken. Listen, when he said that, and we turned that down, folks, we're going to have a problem. He said there that none of them is going to eat. That none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now I'm going to tell you what. If you lay something out, let me look it over. Now I've never said that. Well, I don't know. Maybe I have. I've talked to cattlemen so much down through the years. But on the weekend, they have a smorgasbord. And I've never seen it and never eat of it. But they say that's quite a setup. And you can come in and you pay so much and you can eat all you want. And I don't know if there's steaks on that particular one or not. But some that's partaken of it said, Carl, it's good. It's very good. Well, one of these days, maybe I can get Molly and Paige now. We go try it out. Because it tempts me, see. I want to tempt you tonight. To let you know that Jesus has the greatest of everything. The greatest bread. The greatest supper. The greatest peace and joy and love and mercy and pity and compassion. He's got everything we need tonight. And all we got to do is come and get it, praise God. It's free. I'm going to tell you, if they told me cattlemen would give me the steak every day the rest of my life, I'd have a hard time not going, folks. I already got a little bit of a weight problem because of that doll I married about 4 years ago. I done got a weight problem. My weight started going up, and I have a hard time getting it down. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm going to tell you it's free, praise God. Yes. Come, partake of the meal that I have provided for everybody. Come, children, come. Don't turn it down. Don't make excuse. Don't walk away. Come, come, come. Unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. Oh, 22 and 17 of Revelation. And then Isaiah 55 will be done. Revelation 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely.
Yes.
Oh, said the Spirit and the bride, the church. The Spirit of Christ, the ministers are saying, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let them that is athirst come. Are you athirst tonight? Are you thirsty? I do probably more drinking of water in the pulpit than any other minister among us. Because I guess I preach so hard, I dry my throat out, I got to have some water to keep it going. But the bottom is tonight, if you're athirst, if you're hungry for Jesus, if you have made a thought, I'm going to get saved next week. Let's not wait. Let's do it now. Or maybe next year. I'm going to partake of that great supper you're talking about, Brother Carl. Do it now.
Yes.
Let's not wait.
No.
I'm going to tell you, they say Brahms milk is the best milk out there. The milk that Jesus Christ has through the Word of God beats it all, praise God. And Brahms milk has got so high I can't even afford it. I'm buying from Aldi's and Walmart. And I love Brahms milk, but I told Molly I can't afford nearly $5 a gallon for milk, as much milk as we drink. I can't do it. Jesus said, come. Come unto me. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat that, and eat ye that which is good. Woo! And fat, and let your soul delight itself in fatness.
Yes.
Incline your ear.
Yes.
Come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come unto me. Oh, it's not embarrassing to come to the altar. Don't worry about, well, what will they think? Let's worry about what Jesus would think. If we don't come, that's where the big thing is. If we turn him down, we're going to get in great, great trouble.
Yes.
One way or another. But if we come to the altar when he says, come. Well, Brother Carl, you don't understand. Maybe I don't, but he does. Just come. Lay it all out. Let's stand. Have a number, please. Appreciate your time and attention tonight. Pray for me.